Start your engines. Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Now here's your host, Dante Marcatelli.
It's great to be with you. Just back from the World Championship Parade in Boston, Massachusetts, where the Red Sox had their rolling rally. No, I was not there. But great to be with you here tonight on this Thursday edition of Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. Great job by Aaron yesterday, leading us into our podcast with Hito Turkoglu. Hopefully you enjoyed that snippet here on Magic Drive Time. And of course, you can find it on iTunes, Orlando Magic Pod Squad. Joining me on this show will be Josh Robbins, now of The Athletic, so we'll get caught up on what's going on with this Magic Club, who is back in action here tomorrow. They'll host the Los Angeles Clippers. Tobias Harris, Marcin Gortat, a couple of old friends in the building here tomorrow, but a game that the Magic must get to get back on track and try to get to 3-5 after that one. Fans, don't miss your chance to be a part of history during the 30th anniversary season presented by Florida Hospital. See the Magic take on the Lakers on November 17th or the Knicks on November 18th at Amway Center. Get your seats now at OrlandoMagic.com. And let's welcome in our good buddy, friend of the program here on Magic Drive Time. He is Josh Robbins, and this is my first time saying this. Josh Robbins, no longer of the Orlando Sentinel, of The Athletic, kind enough to join us here. Josh, how are you, sir?
I'm wonderful, Dante.
All right. Well, listen, let me congratulate you. I know this was a big move for you now, joining The Athletic, but I'm sure it came with some trepidation. The Orlando Sentinel was a place you called home for a number of years, so I know you're very excited about your new journey, but I'm sure it was a little bittersweet.
Correct. Yes, you're welcome to put words in my mouth when they're all accurate, and they're all accurate. I love the Orlando Sentinel. I still do. But I'll tell you this, I love The Athletic too, and I'm now 3.5 weeks into it. Each day I'm there, I'm more and more excited about it. And each day I'm there, I realize just how wonderful it is. So, especially for readers. So it's just been an absolute joy so far.
Well, I enjoy it as well. I subscribe to it, and you can as well at theathletic.com, if I'm not mistaken. You can go to The Athletic. You can follow Josh on Twitter, at Joshua B. Robbins. We'll continue to cover the Magic, really, in the same capacity. He'll be at every game, but you'll see a lot more like you did here this morning, Josh. Dinner with Vooch. I thought that was a very well-done article. It was great to get a little insight into Nick Vucevic and kind of get everyone up to speed on, first of all, where they can find it and how they can follow you throughout the year. And then your impressions of Nick Vucevic, Orlando's most tenured player, now going into year 7, and kind of what this city means to him.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Dante. Thank you very much. If you were to go to theathletic.com/Orlando, you would see this article front and center. Click on it. And folks, if you subscribe there off of clicking on my piece, you'll get a significant discount. And I promise you, no one would work harder to make your subscription worthwhile than I would. Per month, it costs less than a cup of coffee. So all that said, let's talk about some basketball now, if you don't mind.
You got it. And let's touch on that, though. Your impressions of Vooch. Obviously, he's a fan favorite. He's the most tenured Magic player, and you had dinner with him, I know, the other night. An interesting piece. I kind of get some perspective into Vooch and where he's at right now. But let's face it, this is a big year for him. He doesn't know what the future holds at the trade deadline or at season's end. But he's a giant piece of this team right now, Josh.
The way the team is constructed, I don't think it can function without him. Certainly on the offensive end of the court, he is absolutely essential to what they do. Leading scorer, leading rebounder, second in assists. Without him, they'd be in big trouble. You know, who he is, though, as you alluded to, is what I attempted to describe in the piece as to what he does on the court. And really who he is someone who has spent most of his life moving from place to place. You know, his parents were accomplished basketball players. He moved several times as a child because his dad went from team to team in Belgium. His home is in Montenegro, but at the age of 16, he moves to California to try and become a to try to earn a Division I scholarship. He spends a total of 4 years in Southern California, then spent a year in Philly, and now the last six-plus years in Orlando. He's put down roots in Orlando. He does love it here. He has been loyal to the organization almost to a fault. And this upcoming year, this will determine whether those roots that he's put down, whether those will continue or whether those will be upended. And he doesn't really express trepidation about it, but he wouldn't be human if he didn't wonder whether those roots will last.
Well, that's the point I was going to ask, and I wondered if you were able to infer that from the piece, because it's only human nature. You don't. He's got a family on the way. He's got a little one due in a little boy coming in December, so the family is expanding. I love the quote he gave you when he said, I accomplished the American dream. To that effect, everything that you mentioned, that he's moved across the world, came all the way over here to this country, and he's playing basketball at the highest level. No matter what happens at season's end or trade deadline, Nick Vucevic is going to be just fine. But I know there are a lot of Magic fans and a lot of us that are fans of him that would love for that to continue here in Central Florida. So I guess it's twofold. Do you think it deep down it's kind of something that he's thinking about? And what does your gut tell you the future might hold for Vuce?
I think it is something he thinks about, but would never let on publicly or privately. I mean, he never acknowledged to me straight out that he's worried about it.
Right.
The way he phrases it, well, it's a fact of life. And well, there's a fire alarm going off in my apartment. Don't worry, I am okay, folks.
Well, be safe. Be safe, Josh. if you have to get out of there, I understand.
Don't think. No. It's just a test. And as you can all hear, my apartment apparently is tied into the fire alarm system.
you will be okay. You will be all right.
Yes, don't worry about me. I'm just fine. And so he knows this comes with the territory. And as a child, he looked up to people primarily in the world of soccer, like a guy named Francesco Totti, who
right.
played his whole life for a team called AS Roma. That's one of Vuce's heroes. And one of the players he respects in the NBA is Dirk. And he would like to be a part of a team that grows and gets better. And you know what? Part of this is on him, too. If the Magic take steps backward or don't go forward, well, it's also up to him to decide whether to remain here when he becomes
sure.
a free agent in July, as long as he's not traded before the trade deadline. So this is not all on the Magic. You know, some of this is on him, except before the February 7th trade deadline. And what you ask me what I think? Well, what I think is, and this is my guess, this is my opinion, not reporting, that the chances of him getting traded before the deadline would only increase if the team is very far under 500 heading into the deadline, like it was in past seasons. So the better the team does, the higher the chances are that he remains. And if the team falters, then I would have to say the chances increase that he gets dealt before the trade deadline.
Okay, interesting. Speaking with Josh Robbins from The Athletic now, you can follow him on Twitter at Joshua B. Robbins. And let's shift gears to his buddy, Evan Fournier. They're the closest of friends. Has not been a great start through seven games for Evan Fournier. 15 points a game, 37% from the floor, 28% from beyond the arc. And he's struggling. This entire Magic offense is struggling, Josh. As we know, 30th in scoring, 30th in field goal percentage, and 28th in three-point percentage. Shots have not fallen, yet they've been in basketball games, had chance to win them. But Evan was very honest a couple of days ago, and he put a lot of the blame on himself and said that he can't afford to play like this for the team to be successful. We need everybody on this team, and I'm just not playing well enough for this group right now. I think it's a big right reason why we keep losing games. I know if I play the way I can, we'd be winning right now. I think that's a lot to put on himself, but I get the frustration that he's trying to exude. And again, as you go through another alarm there, we hope that you're okay. But give us a sense of where Evan's at right now. And you know, he's partly right. He's a big part of what this team needs to do to be successful.
Well, he's 100% correct, partly because of the way the team is constructed and was even before the arrival of Jeff Weltman and John Hammond, that this team is utterly dependent on his shooting and on Vucevic's shooting, and then on piecemeal contributions from everyone else. But if they are both not playing well offensively, then the whole team's going to have problems scoring. And he's not wrong with what he said. All that said, you know, he is missing some open shots. At some point, you would think that he will ascend back to where his average is. But I do wonder whether he puts a lot of pressure on himself and whether maybe that's affecting him a little bit. Just like if I'm sitting down trying to write a great article, it doesn't help me if I'm trying so hard to write. And of course, I don't have 19,000 people watching me write an article, and thank
Close.
God for
You're
that.
Probably about 15,000.
That's right. I mean, the membership numbers are extravagant, but anyway, you see where I'm going with this.
I do. I get the point. Well, I guess what I would ask you is, what was the sense? I know they had a practice today. I know Coach was very complimentary of Mo Bamba, said it was the best practice he's had, certainly in a while. And we'll touch on Mo in a bit. But how do they dig out of this? I mean, defensively, Coach Clifford coached teams are very strong defensively. And this team is 12th in points per game allowed, which isn't bad. They're better than average. But they do give up high field goal percentage. They do give up a lot of threes. But it seems to me, Josh, to be the offensive end, where they just – do you feel it's just knocking down shots, they're getting good looks and not hitting them, or are there problems on the offensive end that need to be corrected?
Well, I think there are problems with the team shooting. It just does not have enough shooting. And, for example, the game in Milwaukee Saturday night, Mike Budenholzer did something there with Milwaukee that he did with Atlanta. He basically dared the Magic to beat his
right.
team with above the break – threes, and the Magic couldn't hit them, and that's got to be a worry for Orlando. They're not heavy on shooting, and so when they're given open shots, they're still pros. They've got to hit them, and they just have not done that yet. That's a problem. And then this team, perhaps more than most, I mean, it's human nature, but perhaps it affects them more than most teams. When they're not shooting well, their defense suffers. And I'm not talking about giving up points in transition. I'm talking about getting blown by on the perimeter. And that happened against Portland. That happened against Milwaukee. They did better the other night against Sacramento. But that team is not going to win a lot if it is not focused in and dialed in defensively, partly because of its offensive woes. And it all feeds in. It's all circular. The fewer stops they get, the more the opposing defenses get set on the other side, it's a vicious circle. So the defense feeds into the offense, and their own offense feeds into the defense, and there are times when both are suffering.
And listen, Josh, I don't think this team's going to shoot 41% all year. Or at least I hope they don't, or it's going to be a long year. Hopefully these guys are all much better shooters than how they've started the year. But you go down the roster, this is not just Evan. I know Evan's a big piece of this, but Terrence Ross, 38%. DJ Augustine, 35%. Jonathan Simmons, 29%. Jonathan Isaac, 43%. And then you go down to Jaren Grant, 33%. So there are a number of guys who can be lumped into that with these offensive woes. But I think a couple of guys that really need to assert themselves at some point on that second unit, Jonathan Simmons and Jaren Grant, have got off to extremely slow starts. So what are you seeing with those two guys? And you know, for this team, it's difficult enough to generate offense out of that second unit, but those guys have to be better.
I'm inclined to give Jaren Grant more leeway. Not that anyone asks, but I'm inclined to give them more leeway.
Yeah, sure.
More leeway, because as a point guard, he's got the biggest transition of anybody on the team, because he doesn't just have to know what is expected of him. He needs to know the tendencies of new teammates. That's tough. He's never been a great shooter, but he's got to make some improvements there. Jonathan Simmons, to me, is at his best when he's attacking the rim. Because he's the one guy on the team who can consistently get into the lane, draw contact, draw fouls. And he's really good when he does that. And I think too often he accepts open threes. That's not his game. And particularly not now, because all offseason he was recovering from surgery to his shooting wrist. And so he's not going to be at his best right now as an outside shooter. But I do think he can get into the rim almost at will, and if he listened to me, for what that's worth, I wouldn't do it either if I were him. But if he were to listen to me, I would suggest that he play to his strengths, which is get to the rim, draw contact, get to the line. Because as they saw at times last year when he would do that, he should be a lethal weapon, to borrow a phrase. So a lethal offensive force. He really can be. And then there have been times this year where he's kicked out to the perimeter when he's done that. And unfortunately, from the Magic's perspective, they've been unable to hit some of those open looks.
Well, Josh, I urge you to make that point. Then maybe he'll listen to you tomorrow. Maybe you can make that point tomorrow before the game. The last thing I want to ask, you were at practice today, and Coach Cliff made the point that this was the best practice Mo Bamba has had probably since the season started. Coming off a game where he had 7.7 rebounds and a career-high 5 blocks, very good defensively. And he's been saying for a couple days now, Mo Bamba 25-30 games from now is going to be considerably different. So what was Coach Cliff mentioning as far as Mo, and where do you think those differences might be?
Well, for one thing, he said in this past game that Bamba was a real defensive force. He basically shut down the lane, both one-on-one and then helping when needed, when people try to attack the basket. So that would be progress for him. But I do think it's important to remember that he's going to be going through the toughest grind of his playing career. A stretch of 8 games in 13 days was the stretch Clifford mentioned. And I don't expect him to be dominant game to game. I just don't think he's there yet. I think, but there are some welcome signs that he can certainly do that. And I think as the season goes on, and perhaps as he gets more wind, his conditioning gets better, that he could assert himself more. Because one of the things the team is not going to do is really overtax him with a significant number of minutes. That they hope to keep him as fresh as possible as March and as early April roll around.
All right, Josh, I appreciate it as always. Enjoy the time, and I will see you tomorrow with Shoot Around the Magic and the Los Angeles Clippers tomorrow. Thanks, Josh.
You're welcome, Dante.
All right, appreciate it. Josh Robbins, now of The Athletic. So you got to make sure you take some time to check that out. He'll still be covering the Orlando Magic and again, some good work covering some of these guys here lately. So when we come back, we're going to have our NBA Hoop Scoop. Still more to get to on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, when we return in a moment.
Our Magic never compromise on the court, and Magic fans don't have to compromise when it comes to diamonds, engagement rings, and fine jewelry. You always get more at International Diamond Center. IDC is Florida's leading jeweler, recognized statewide for excellence in every category, selection, value, and trust. And that's why we've been named Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic again this year. So come visit one of our 8 showrooms across the state or 24/7 at shopidc.com/gomagic. International Diamond Center, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
It's time you level up your lemon lime with clear, refreshing Mountain Dew Ice. Why settle for this when you could have this? You want a fist bump that ends in one of those fake explosions? Or a fist bump that ends in an actual explosion? Want to pull up to the party on this? Or arrive in this? Make this musical request? Or this one? Mountain Dew Ice. Clear, refreshing lemon lime. Redefined.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.
And welcome back to Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. Orlando back at it tomorrow, hosting the Los Angeles Clippers. And listen, I know it's frustrating. I know it's disappointing. I know 2-5 is not what everybody wanted to start the season, but these guys got to make shots. Everyone down the roster, I mean, is with the exception of Nick Vucevic, who's shooting a great percentage, and Aaron Gordon's, who's at 43%, Isaac's at 43%. There's about a handful of guys that are above 40. Everyone else has got to get it going. We've got to make shots, and hopefully that'll start tomorrow against the Los Angeles Clippers. Even you, Aaron Berlin, you got to make some shots around here. You're getting open looks. You got to get something to go.
I just got to hit that 3-pointer eventually, but you know, that over-the-head shot doesn't really do me any justice.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. So here's your chance to redeem yourself since you're not making any threes either. Give us our NBA hoop scoop.
As part of our obligation to you, the fan, we've spent countless minutes scouring the internet today to bring you the hottest NBA topics. This is Hoop Scoop.
I'll say this, Dante. It's one thing to be able to shoot a basketball over your head. It's another to find these interesting topics that I dug up today, and I got some good ones. To everyone's surprise, last night, Derrick Rose, playing 40 minutes in a win over Utah, dropped 50 points. He was 19 of 31 from the field. Is this the return of the Derrick Rose we all know and love?
No, because history shows he'll have a good game and then disappear for a while. But I saw a snippet with Kendall Gill, who I think does the Chicago Bulls telecast, and they were ranking the top five point guards in the NBA. This was 4 days ago. He had Derrick Rose fifth in the NBA. He knows D. Rose. He covered him. He sees something with him, and for some reason, he feels he's going to have a big year. So, based on that, I think, you know, he's going to be... Listen, he's not back. He's not going to be MVP Derrick Rose ever, but that was awesome to see him put on a performance like that. I think he's going to be better, but no, I don't think you can count on him officially being back.
There was a great tribute on Twitter last night. Everybody just sent out the Rose emojis because they all loved it so much. How about this? The Wolves have had enough kind of turbulence this year. Jimmy Butler sat out last night's game, and as reports state, it's part of a six-week plan to get him out of Minneapolis. Buying or selling this kind of behavior, Dante?
I tell you what, you know what? I'm selling it because the guy doesn't want to be out of there. I get it, but they got to figure something out. There's all this back and forth. He's playing, he's not playing, he's practicing, he's not. That is a disaster. That is an absolute disaster. And what an impression on those young guys with the way this whole thing is being handled. It's been botched from the beginning. If they're going to move them. And if they're not, they're not. You got to make a decision, and you got to stick to it.
I was going to say, you got to get him out of there if he's just going to trash Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, your two pillars. You can't have that around there.
That's not productive, Aaron. Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all. All right, Dante, last night a handful of NBA players showed up in their Halloween games in costumes. Old friend Victor Oladipo showed up as Marvel's Black Panther, while LeBron was Mike Myers from Halloween. What was your favorite costume that you saw an NBA player show up to this year?
Well, mine was right here in Orlando. Aaron Gordon's been talking about being Aaron Judge for a while, and he did it. He walked into the game on Tuesday night against Sacramento, dressed in the pinstripes, which was hard for me to see, holding a baseball bat, a jersey that said Judge, Yankee helmet. It was awesome. It was spot on. I know everyone's probably seen it on his Instagram page. ESPN got a hold of it. I thought that was great. He's been talking about it for a while, and he came through with it. It was pretty cool.
I'm still going with young Dame Lillard and his Stone Cold Steve Austin garment. That was fantastic. I just wanted to hear the glass break when he stepped out of the bus.
Austin 316.
Absolutely. Dante, I'm going to leave you with this one because I think this is something everyone in Orlando needs to hear. The Bucks continue to dominate the Eastern Conference, right? Well, how about this? For everyone who says that tanking is the right way, the Bucks' highest draft pick on their roster right now is Brooke Lopez and Thon Maker, both who were taken at number 10 in the NBA draft.
Unbelievable. The way they've done it. Now, they struck gold with Giannis Antetokounmpo, but it takes more than that. You have to acquire talent. We've got a guy that did that in John Hammond. You found Chris Middleton, and you added that talent. You get Brooke Lopez in free agency. You get the rookie of the year in Malcolm Brogdon, second-round pick. It's just unbelievable how that thing was built. It's sustainable. It's young guys that are going to be there for a while. You also have length with Maker and John Henson. So, yeah, absolutely. The blueprint is there. I love that model, and hopefully the Magic are able to follow suit. But that Milwaukee Bucks team is absolutely on fire right now. The only undefeated team left in the NBA. That'll do it for Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. Magic added tomorrow. Host Tobias Harrison, the Los Angeles Clippers, 6:30 on Fox Sports Florida, 6:30 on the Magic Radio Network, right here on 96.9 The Game. Have a great night, everybody.